Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Mini Crush Monday with Chuck and Noel, your hosts with the most.
With some. I think you've got more than me, but I've got a little bit. I'm doing better today. I feel like I'm bringing the mojo. I've got my coffee here.
Okay.
Surrounded by packing materials, which stresses me out a little bit, but really looking forward to the future where I'm going to be able to stretch my legs in like a giant room.
I'm looking forward to the future where we can put a little pill on your plate and add water and it becomes whatever meal you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or perhaps a little spirit guide, you know, just like a something that could just come to life and tell me what to do with my life.
Right. Or a world where there is equality among race and gender.
Yeah, I don't think so, Chuck. Okay. Just kidding.
We could figure
That's a crazy pipe dream there. That's not.
We can figure out the dinner pill, but yeah. We can't solve racism, sadly. Mm-hmm. That's probably the truth. All right, Noel, before we get going, I'm going to very quickly buzz through. I did that Facebook 10 albums thing that influenced me.
Oh, cool.
And I mentioned it on Stuff You Should Know and people asked. So without getting into the weeds here, I'm just going to kind of buzz through mine. My first album was Free to Be You and Me, the great kids record from Marlo Thomas. Taught me about being kind to one another and accepting one another as they are. And winning wasn't everything. All the great. It's just funny and earnest and wonderful.
Clutch lessons, Chuck. Clutch lessons.
Clutch lessons. Number two was Billy Joel's Glass Houses, the very first record I bought with my own money. Still love Billy Joel. I stand by him always.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, Noel, was the soundtrack to The Big Chill. This was played a lot in my house, and little, you know, 10, 11-year-old Chuck was introduced to Aretha Franklin and Smokey Robinson and Marvin Gaye, The Temptations, and all of Motown by listening to this record.
That's great. Ugh, I need to get into that record.
Big influence. Wonderful. To a lot of people my age, actually, because their parents were listening to it. All those boomers.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, Lynyrd Skynyrd's first record, pronounced Lynyrd Skynyrd. A very big record for me. My brother-in-law, who was dating my sister at the time when I was just 12, sat me down, turned my ears on their three guitar rock and roll, and it kind of blew my mind, and I still love Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Did they do guitar minis?
Sure. Are you fucking kidding me?
I don't know the Skin.
Yeah, man. They're great. I stand by it. A lot of that Southern rock kind of went away for me, but it was they're still awesome. The next one, big one, Cheap Trick, the album One on One. Although I like many of their other records better now, One on One was my entry point and the first adult concert I went to when I was 12 years old.
What did he do with that double neck guitar, Chuck? Was one of them a 12 string? It never looked like it was. It always looked like just two 6 strings.
The one that is shaped like him and looks like him?
No, it's just he always played a big like checkerboarded double neck guitar. Am I mistaken?
Well, I mean,
Cheap Trick thing.
Rick Nielsen has hundreds of guitars and he's famous for playing a different guitar on almost every song live. So he may very well, he's famous for the one double neck guitar that is built to look like him, like a cartoon version of him. And he is also famous for his 5 neck guitar, which is ridiculous. And that's the one.
Yeah. So I'm looking at that and I'm like, what's the deal? Okay, I see now. One is a 12 string.
Yeah.
One of them has a Bigsby tremolo. Uh-huh. One is a bass, it looks like. I don't even know. Yeah, there's definitely one that's a bass. The one on the bottom is a bass.
It's a gag guitar, you know. It's not something to be taken super seriously, I think.
Pretty funny.
Next up on my list, Noel, is Paul's Boutique by the Beastie Boys. I'm sorry, by Beastie Boys. No, the
huge
record for me. Like sonically a leap forward from their first album, like not many bands have been able to achieve. Big.
You've been watching that Beastie Boys doc on Apple?
No, TV? But I'm almost done with the book. I wanted to read the book first. So I'm almost done with that. It's a very fun read. And then I'm going to get into the doc.
People say it's quite good.
The next one I did a cheat, Noel, because these two bands and records live side by side in my heart, REM's Life's Rich Pageant and U2's Unforgettable Fire. Two sides of the same coin to me at a time when I started to go left of the dial with my music taste.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Life's Rich Pageant was a big one for me. I had a babysitter that had that on CD, and I remember really loving like Swan, Swan, H, and then the which was actually a secret track on the CD, Superman.
That's right.
It wasn't listed, I believe.
Superman was a secret track. Very true. Next on my list, Noel, and these are all fairly chronological, was freshman year. These guys lived at the end of my hall that were sort of into metal and metal guitar, playing, you know, actual guitar players. I very much remember them sitting me down and saying, "You've never heard Jane's Addiction?" And putting on the cassette of Nothing Shocking and my 18-year-old ears exploding and my brain melting. Still one of my favorite records of all time. Next up, we have another duo cheat, Pavement, Slanted and Enchanted, and Silver Jews, American Water. Those two records changed a lot for me in my music listening. Pavement became kind of my favorite modern band, along with Silver Jews. And, you know, we lost the great David Berman, and very sad stuff.
That Purple Mountains record just perfect. And especially when you know what happened, it makes it just extra heartbreaking. But it's also funny. Like, it's got, like, it approaches sadness and depression with this really tongue-in-cheek attitude, which I think is what he always was kind of known for. But that one in particular really just captures that. And then knowing right before he was to set out on tour, he took his own life, is such a crusher. But I will always love that album.
Never got him on Movie Crush, man. I was close. And then finally, I'm going to finish up with The Band, the Brown album. It is an old album, but it is still chronological because I did not get into The Band in earnest until I was in my late 20s and early 30s. And they became kind of one of my favorite groups of all time. And that Brown record, one of the best records in music history.
I always loved the Basement Tapes with Bob Dylan and the band.
Yeah,
that was
man.
Kind of my, I mean, I think The Last Waltz was my first exposure to the band.
Sure.
And then that got me into the Basement Tapes because of all the, you know, those amazing songs on there, like The Weight and all that stuff.
Oh boy. They're just the best. I was lucky enough to see Levon Helm play live before he passed away. My one big life regret, one of them, is that my friend Eddie and I did not get up to Woodstock, New York to go to one of his rambles. You know, he had these weekly or maybe monthly performances at his barn recording studio out in the country in Woodstock called the Levon Helm's Rambles, where he would have special guests come in and you basically just show up and throw a quilt on the lawn and outside the barn and, you know, picnic and share food and break bread with strangers, and it just sounded wonderful. Never got to do it.
Isn't that still a place you can go, though?
I think they're still doing some rambles now.
There's something going on, yeah.
Yeah, I might still go as an homage. I'm sure it's still great. The fact that he has passed on would be bittersweet, though, I think. All right, Noel, we're going to move on. Just wanted to throw that out there to a little category called Worst Sequel of All Time.
Okay.
Worst movie sequel. You got one?
I need a minute. I want to hear some inspiration.
Rob Dickinson says, Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. Never felt so let down by a movie, despite even having realistic expectations going in.
Yeah, that was the one where the T-Rex kind of got set loose on the city. No. Wait.
No, I think Fallen Kingdom was the new stuff, right?
Oh, well, so what are we talking about? Are we talking about a direct sequel, or can it be like three or four sequels in?
Well,
is there a rule here?
I think Fallen Kingdom would be the sequel to the new one, right?
Oh, that's true.
Sequel
yeah, that's
to
right.
The reboot.
Okay.
Jurassic World, not Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm. You're right. That's a whole new franchise. They were fine.
Yeah.
Who cares? They're just whatever. I mean, why even think about them with too much energy?
Who cares?
Dumb popcorn movies, you know?
Austin Handler, one of our old friends, is Anchorman 2. He said just terrible. So,
same with Zoolander 2. Like another version of the same movie. Yeah.
I refuse to see either one because I loved the first Zoolander and Anchorman quite a bit. And I heard the other two were so bad, I just didn't want to taint it.
Mm-hmm. I did see Zoolander 2. I did not bother with Anchorman 2. But Zoolander 2 was just a, you know, a really low rent redux of the first movie.
See, those are the worst kinds, is when you use the same jokes and the same bits and just change them ever so slightly. It sucks. That's the worst kind of excuse for a sequel. And it always happens in the comedy sequels. You know?
It's true. Weird, though, with those, because they didn't follow, like, closely on the originals.
Yeah.
It took a long time for those to come out, you know?
No,
like,
totally.
was it a demand thing? Or, like, I would have thought it would have been because the creators were like, we really want to, we got a good idea. We want to do this.
Yeah, and you got to catch lightning in the bottle pretty quickly. Like, waiting that long for Zoolander, like, no one gave a shit by the time that came out.
Also true.
Jenna Van Balen, one of our old friends, says, did we need more Hangover? It was fun once. Once. Yeah, the sequels were not great. And I thought The Hangover was a very funny movie.
It was really funny. It's lightning in a bottle, like you said. It combined an interesting cast, where it was like sort of like a odd choice kind of, but then it totally worked, you know, and really elevated Galifianakis to like super duper movie stardom.
You know,
that was the one.
Has
he done a serious role yet? I really want to see him in a serious role. I think he would be wonderful.
Yes, I feel like he has. Zach Galifianakis drama. What am I thinking of?
I'm not sure.
I feel like, oh man, I can't remember, but I know that he's done some kind of a serious role. I mean, Baskets, his TV show is a comedy, but it's a dark and serious comedy in some ways.
Yeah, agreed. And he's great in that for sure.
He's so wonderful. He's one of my faves. Love Zach.
Lovely.
Let me see here. Julianne Rains said, Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, excellent adventure, is my favorite comedy, and I refuse to accept the sequel is something that ever existed.
I don't know about all that. It's like, come on. Was Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure really like a good movie? Like, it's nostalgic as all get out. It's certainly fun, but what makes the second one so bad? I really enjoyed it when they're like playing chess with death, and you know, that whole, I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, you know me, I'm on record as saying that it was fine, the first one. I'm not the biggest Bill and Ted's guy, though. I enjoyed it at the time, but I don't have the special feels for that movie that everyone else seems to have.
It's funny, that's almost a sleeper stoner movie, if you think about it, because they're kind of two stoner guys, but they don't actually talk about smoking weed.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, I think it's sort of, that's the vibe.
Yeah, totally. You know what? I'm going to say worst sequel. I'm going to go ahead and throw out Escape from LA in there.
Oh, that's so bad.
It's so fucking bad. We've talked about it before, but a movie made, I don't know, however many years later, that managed to look worse than the movie that preceded it.
It's because they tried to use digital stuff. Like, there's like a whole green screen where they're surfing, and
it looks like
one of those things you do at an amusement park where you're like, hey, look at me, I'm in Hawaii, waka laka kiki, you know?
Right, totally.
Like, it's, yeah.
Yeah, like a bad background.
Mm-hmm.
Ian Lyon says, it's a tie for me between American Werewolf in Paris and Blair Witch 2 Book of Shadows.
Those were quite bad.
Go ahead.
I liked American Werewolf in Paris, but I also had no knowledge or fondness of the original.
Oh,
that movie came out in theaters when I was younger, and I remember kind of enjoying it. And it also had Ed Bush on the soundtrack, which was totally rad.
I thought you were going to say something else.
No, yeah, it totally, yes. It may have had that too. I don't really remember.
Carrie Stone, very much on the money here, says Highlander 2. Maybe not the worst, but the first worst that came to my mind was Highlander 2. Why? Because the whole point of the story is there can be only one. At the end of the first movie, we end up with one. How can you continue that? Yeah, Highlander was really good. That was a fun movie. Did you ever see that?
I have not seen it like in one sitting. I'm familiar with it. I've seen, you know, clips, but I need to sit down.
That's
and
awesome.
Watch. Isn't there a third one too? Is the second one The Quickening? Which one's The Quickening?
Well, yeah, I think they went on to do a bunch of Highlander garbage after that. But to me, there was only one.
Got it.
Michelle Loduca Sass says, Jaws the Revenge. Yeah, none of the Jaws sequels are very good. Even Jaws 2 with Roy Scheider was not very good. That was a one-shot thing, I think. Boy, there's a lot of really good picks here as bad sequels. So, Sammy Cahill says Sandlot 2. Steve Newman says Grease 2, although a lot of people I know like Grease 2.
Isn't Michelle Pfeiffer in that one?
Yeah, yeah, sure. And okay. Oh God, what's that guy's name? I think he's Australian. He was hot shit back then.
Really?
I can't remember
Grease
his name.
2.
Look that up, Noel.
I am.
Patrick Gorman, one of our oldest friends, says Speed 2 Cruise Control. Yeah, Speed was a pretty fun movie, and Speed 2 was not.
Maxwell Caulfield?
Yep, that's the one. Is he an Aussie?
I don't know. I've never heard of him.
I think he's an Australian.
Yeah.
Let me see here. Pete Drummond says Super Troopers 2, almost 20 years of waiting, and they completely dropped the ball. He said they literally asked Jim Gaffigan's character if he remembered the meow game from the first movie. Yeah, I love those guys, but I heard Super Troopers 2 wasn't great, so I didn't see it. Mm-hmm. Another instance of not wanting to ruin something.
I think that's smart, Chuck. I think you're being a good steward of your memories.
Yeah, right?
And yeah, I think that's smart.
Mike Snelling Jr. says The Matrix 2 and 3. Totally agree, sir. That should have been one movie.
Yeah, man. They really jumped the shark like multiple times on that. And, like The Architect, like what the fuck even was that?
I don't know.
It was so convoluted and just made it not suck the fun right out of it, didn't it?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Cash grab. Carly Padovani Petit says Tremors 2. I haven't even seen it, but I know it has to be awful. I bet you're right, Carly. I haven't seen it either. One of our old pals, top fan, and a dude that I like, Charles Martin Akers, says Return to Oz. Oddly terrifying and so bad it's good, but it just didn't fit the mold of the original.
Well, that was the point. And it was based on a real story, too, I believe. It was all characters from that universe, which is kind of spooky. Honestly, if you think about it, the original Wizard of Oz was much more of a saccharine kind of twist on the Baum stories. This was almost more of a true-to-form one, kind of. I mean,
yeah.
I thought it was great.
All right. Alexandria Runyon says, Ant-Man and the Wasp. Loved the first one. Thought it was full of heart. Really funny. Second one just seemed like a disaster and a rushed attempt to get Ant-Man to his place for Endgame. Yeah, that's fair. I didn't hate it. But it did feel a little rushed to get him in there. I agree with that.
Just barely, though. I thought it was fun. I walked away having had a good time.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a Marvel movie that I've been like, oh, that sucked. Like, I always enjoy them for the most part. You know?
I think it's just such a high bar that franchise
right.
or that universe sets that, like, if you had to say which one of them that sucked, quote unquote, it might
yeah.
be that one because the rest of them are just so perfect. You know, the beats of the comedy and the action and everything about it, it just works in perfect harmony. Then maybe that one
yeah.
felt a little slipshod or whatever, but I still quite enjoyed it.
Yeah. All right, let me buzz through a few more of these and we'll finish up here. Matt McDonough says City Slickers 2. Old friend Vanessa Lopez, Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest. Let me see here. Stephen Hughesby says Kick-Ass 2. Yeah, I didn't see that. I'd love Kick-Ass and I heard that Kick-Ass 2 was bad. Oh, we have a visitor coming in.
Hey, I hear some rustling.
Come on in, kiddo.
What's her least favorite? What's her least favorite sequel?
Hi.
Say hi to Noel.
Hi.
What did she think of Frozen 2?
Noel wants to know what you think of the movie Frozen 2. Do you like Frozen 2? Was that a good sequel? Can you say some words about it?
I like it because Elsa goes into the unknown.
Oh, because she goes into the unknown? Or do you mean into the unknown?
No.
Into the unknown! Hey, Emily in backing vocals. All right, there's a dog in here. All this stuff is falling down.
Oh my God.
Together.
Chaos. All right, kiddo, say goodbye.
No.
No?
This is premium content right here, Chuck.
Huh? You can't stay. I'm sorry, kiddo. We got to finish this up.
Come on. I've got oatmeal brewing.
Oatmeal is brewing. Will you
How
please
does one
abide?
Brew oatmeal?
Oatmeal and attitudes are brewing.
Please. Pretty please. I can't keep doing this show if you... All right. I love you. Oh, she's so sad.
Oh, no. Rejected. That was a lovely moment, though, Chuck.
That was a lovely moment. All my sound paneling is falling down now. Oh, good Lord, Noel. It's all going to pot. That's what 5-year-olds do. All right.
It's okay. It's okay.
We're back with it.
All right.
All right. We're going to finish up here with a couple of dudes. Matt Hosley and Adam Salazar both said dumb and dumberer.
Yeah.
I think, like, just you don't even need to comment on that. It was right. Bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not good.
Not good.
All right. So let me see here. What else we got here?
I know a lot of people didn't like Wayne's World 2. I watched it last night, like I said, with my kids. She liked it better. She got way more laughs out of her because they did that thing they always did with those kind of sequels of comedies in the 90s and in the 80s. They just threw everything at the fucking wall, man.
Yeah.
Just like up the silly value.
I know.
And obviously they had more money and they had more celebs in it. Kim Basinger's in it. Olivia Dabo. What is it? Drew Barrymore, you know. But they had all these like gags of like Jurassic Park, and they did like a Thelma and Louise gag. And there was a kung fu fighting scene that definitely didn't age super well, but I quite enjoyed it. But I know that was kind of maligned and didn't get great reviews at the time.
It's I think the comedy sequel is the rare one that is really good, you know?
It can be. Like Gremlins 2 is a perfect example. That I don't know if you've seen that amazing Key and Peele sketch where it's like the writer's room for Gremlins 2. And Peele plays this like Hollywood sequel fixer who's like, everyone gets a gremlin. Everyone name a gremlin. It's like electric gremlin. He's like, it's in the movie.
Right.
And he's like, googly eyed gremlin. So you're telling me it's a weird googly eyed ass looking gremlin? It's like, yeah. He's like, it's in the movie. And you got to see it, dude. I'll send you a link. It's really funny. But.
Oh, man. That was one of their bits one time. It's hard to describe. That was so funny when it was a wife interrogating a husband on why his browser history is always clean and his cache is cleared every time she opens it up. Mm-hmm, and every time it cuts back to him, he's sweating more and more and just going like, I don't know. It's good. And to the point where they have like full on faucets hooked up, like pouring out of their space.
It's so funny. I love that show.
Man, I miss it. Those guys, they're the best. I imagine that, you know, Jordan Peele now is just doing his big time Hollywood thing. We're not going to get any more Key and Peele, Noel.
I don't think so. He's doing some cool productions, though. Like, he's got an HBO series coming out called, like, Lovecraftia or Lovecraftville or something like that. It looks pretty cool. And
he's great.
I don't know. And the Candyman remake, I'm kind of into.
Yeah.
I'm kind of down with that. Yeah.
All right, Noel. Well, that segues very nicely into the next segment. Next segment is, what movie are you most bummed isn't coming out this summer in theaters? You know, we're in lockdown and there's all these big, big movies that are being pushed. I imagine some will go on demand, but probably not the biggest ones. I imagine they're going to try and wait that out. And we're going to start off with Sophie Bristol says, In the Heights.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I saw the preview, I'd start to tear up. I don't know In the Heights. What's that?
In the Heights is a musical that Lin-Manuel Miranda did before Hamilton.
Right, right, right.
It's about Brooklyn Heights, I believe, and Latino, Latinx communities there in the 90s, I want to say.
Okay.
And the trailer looks magical. It looks enchanting. I love that guy. It really does look really cool and looks like a good, big, you know, Broadway movie adaptation a la like Chicago or something. You know,
oh,
like,
man,
really,
I got to check that out.
Yeah, it looks really dope.
Let me see here. Simon Nicholas Kennedy, interesting sequel to a little indie film that came out in 86. I forget the name, but it highlighted the risk reward of being accepted to the American Air Force Elite Flight School. Okay. You're talking about Top Gun. I get it, Simon. That's funny. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm bummed. I wanted to see Top Gun, the sequel.
That did look pretty cool. It's interesting though, how like, I don't know. Like, I'm surprised they haven't done more of those on-demand releases, because I think you said that Trolls World Tour made a fuck ton of money. I'm surprised they haven't rolled out more of those.
Well,
it was really only
we'll
like
see.
Three. It was like Emma, Trolls World Tour,
and The Invisible Man.
And like that was it. Just very interesting that more studios haven't rushed to kind of cash in on that.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. In fact, I don't think we'll get to that bit today, but I do have a thread about that, about the future of movies and what people kind of feel about dual release and stuff like that. So we'll get to that on the next one. We'll continue with Maria Vasquez, live action Mulan. Really excited. Now bummed. Wendy Roberts says Dune.
Yeah,
that hurts.
But to be fair, that's only just now in production. I mean, it's not, or are they, I guess they halted production.
Oh, was that not supposed to drop this year?
I don't, I mean, it maybe was, but I know we're just, we're starting to see like production stills roll out, and I know it only was just starting to film right before. Really quickly, Chuck, I want to ask you, somebody brought this up. It was a buddy of mine who works in film, in TV, and he was saying how the new way might have to be you assemble a cast and crew for a movie and you like quarantine them together for 2 weeks, and then they just live in a pod world for like the entire production of the movie and they can't leave, like in those underground houses in Better Call Saul. You know what I mean? Like that's like the only way you could do it, and have everyone feel comfortable and have everyone feel safe.
Yeah, I mean, it would have to be a, it would also have to be a certain kind of movie to even do that.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. We're going to see. I got so many friends in production and they're all super stressed about what their life is going to look like. It is a business of close contact. So it would be very hard to pull off. All right. Kat G and Bruno says lady superheroes, Wonder Woman and Black Widow. Yeah, me too, man.
Yep. The Wonder Woman one in particular looked like a lot of fun. It's got that 80s kind of vibe, which I really have been enjoying seeing a resurgence of.
Yeah, absolutely. Melinda Bacaleo, one of our oldest friends, says No Time to Die. Yeah, man, she and James Bond go away is tough. Oh, this is so hard, Noel.
Yeah, no, I mean, I for me, of those three, I would say Wonder Woman just kind of excited me because I like the vibe of the trailer and everything. But I like a good Bond movie. Yeah. Black Widow, I don't know if I'm not as excited about that one, but
ooh, I am.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, isn't it rated R? Is it rated R?
I hope so. She's badass. I want to see her in a rated R movie.
I did see a trailer for that. It looked pretty awesome. Okay. All right. I'm back with it.
Well, that was easy. Mm-hmm. Noel, give me $100.
Yeah. Okay.
Jimmy Rutherford, one of our old friends, says probably A Quiet Place 2. Yeah. I mean, listen, man, I'm sad about all these. I'm sad about not being able to go to the goddamn movies. I love going to the movies, Noel.
I do too.
Love sitting in those theaters.
Yeah, the last movie I saw in the theaters before all this was the My Hero Academia animated movie, which is like an anime thing that my kid's really into. And it was fun. I don't know if I talked about this on the show. They, I took her and her friends who were like these anime nerd kids, and they wore their costumes for, dressed up as characters in the show. Mm-hmm. And we went and saw the 4D version where it's like you're in these seats that move around.
Oh, right, right.
I hated it. Because
I would not be into that.
It did not sync up even with the action of the movie, and it wasn't in 3D. So you're literally just looking at a 2D screen and getting jerked around in this fucking seat. It feels like you're taking a bumpy ride in the back of a police van. No. Like it was just terrible. Terrible. Oh yeah. For my good old days.
Yeah, that is not for me. I get a little motion weird with some stuff like that anyway. So no, thank you.
Every time it kicked in, I just rolled my eyes. I hated it. It just ruined the movie for me, but it was a cool movie. It's a really pretty awesome anime movie. But don't recommend that.
Yeah. Not my bag. Don't even need to try it. Dan Maynard says Tenet. Yeah, this is the new Nolan film that looked really interesting. And, you know,
oh, cool.
Christopher Nolan, I have some issues with here and there, but he's obviously a brilliant filmmaker. And I will see everything that he makes.
Is there a trailer out for that? I've heard nothing about this. Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh, cool.
It looks badass.
Awesome.
Daryl Murphy, I don't know this movie, but it's an indie called First Cow. It's an A24 film, so you know it's going to be great. He said it was receiving a slow rollout and on the books for our local indie cinema, and then poof, gone. I heard they're holding it back rather than streaming. Yeah, I would think some of these indies should definitely go the streaming route. I get why they're not going to do James Bond that way and some of the tent poles, but get these indies out on television, you know?
There's one that I'm fascinated by from David Cronenberg's son, Brandon, it's called Possessor. I've read some early reviews of it, and it looks like just absolute nightmarish body horror stuff. And
fruit not falling far from the tree, huh?
Not falling far from the tree at all. It's got Andrea Riseborough in it, who I loved, and Mandy and Jennifer Jason Leigh, who also has been in a few Cronenberg movies. Christopher Abbott and
Existence.
Yeah, exactly. And I haven't even seen a trailer for it yet, which is a bummer. Hmm. I really want to. But there's a still where it looks like a woman whose face is kind of melting and her eyes have become mouths.
Oh, Jesus.
It looks pretty wild. Well, let's just leave it at that.
Yeah, when you're switching orifices around, it gets weird. You know, like a mouth and an eyeball. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen a nose ear? Oof.
Oh, God.
It's the worst. Some nose ears, Noel. Nightmare fuel.
For sure.
Megan Murdoch, Murdoch Boyd says the French Dispatch, of course. And the new Doctor Strange. Yeah, man, that's a bummer about Wes Anderson.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There was a trailer for that one, too, that looked really cool. Though the Wes Anderson, yeah.
Totally. Johnson Lai says, I'm Asian, and I was really wondering if anyone else cared about a Chinese story with an English-speaking Asian cast. I'm not sure what that means, unless he's talking about Mulan.
But that's a largely... Oh, English-speaking Asian cast. Yeah, that would probably be what he's talking about.
Okay, he doesn't say, but I will say that he's wearing a Bane mask in his profile pic, and it's pretty cool. The Danger Oven, Gail Kuntz. And Gail, the Movie Crushers are thinking about you. I know you lost your grandma, and I was very sorry to hear that. But Gail says, Ghostbusters Afterlife, without a doubt. I was really looking forward to it. So was I, Kuntz. So was I. Stephen Cole says, Chuck's beard, an ode to a fallen friend.
It's already coming back with a vengeance, my man.
Yeah, it's getting there. I should post a little update. Yeah. I'm scruffy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the beard has to, as you know, it just stays. It gets long. The stubble just gets longer until mm-hmm. the stubble finally becomes hair. You know?
I don't know if you noticed,
like Chuck. Like beard hair.
It's fine if you didn't. It's okay. My feelings aren't hurt, but I trimmed mine up pretty nicely.
Well, all I see is a microphone. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a little closer.
It's a nice little point, and I trimmed it close. I did it myself, and then my kid gave me a haircut. She did my little undercut for me on the sides.
Oh, nice.
She used my Manscaped ball trimmer.
Oh, God, Noel. Can't
Chuck,
believe
I've never actually used it on my man parts. I've only used it to trim my beard. It's a very high-quality trimmer.
You've only used it to trim your penis beard.
No, that's no. I have no need for that. It's perfectly fine down there.
Oh, God. I can't believe you let your daughter touch that thing.
Chuck.
A bunch of Black Widows. Bill Horton, John Shaw, Michael Griffith, Jennifer Hal Baldwin, Rachel Jones, Anna Stresa. A lot of people are chiming in with Black Widow. Peter Rabbit 2 from Jason Kreider. Okay.
Tenet. People did seem to like that Peter Rabbit movie.
I did not see that. A lot of Wonder Woman's in here, too.
Did you watch Paddington with your kid yet?
No, it's still on the list. You know, we're trying our best not to do that much TV.
That's fine.
And we're trying to do like a movie night once a week. So that should be on the list as like
lovely.
The next one.
You guys will really dig it.
And certainly a lot of Wonder Woman, Steph Shannon, David Young, Lisa Seidel or Seattle. Either way, that's a great
Maybe
name.
Maybe Seidel?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah, basically all the big movies that are coming out is what people are mentioning. And then a couple of indies thrown in. And I don't think we have time for that other post. We'll get into that next time, and maybe people can contribute to that. But I basically said, how do you feel about possibly reworking how cinema works and maybe some theaters shutting down and things being released at the same time, even after the virus has gone away? Or will things just go back to normal? And we'll see what people have to say about that. Do you have any initial thoughts, Noel? Do you like that?
You know, the there's a lot of local theaters, or maybe not a lot, but there's our cool kind of classic art house cinema, The Plaza, that's starting to do some pop-up drive-in showings
in
the parking lot behind The Plaza. And I do think that would be a comfort level thing. We have a really cool drive-in theater, the Starlight Drive-In.
That's still going, right?
It's still going. Yeah. I mean, I know that some folks went during the midst of the pandemic. So
yeah,
I mean,
that's
that
a great way to get in there. Let me see actually what's playing here. Bad Boys for Life. The Wretched, The Invisible Man, Knives Out, The Hunt. Yeah. I mean, there are new movies being released. So there are movies that either have been out forever or that are already
that's
out
right.
on cable.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Jeez.
Bleak.
It's fucking bleak, Noel. It's so bleak.
But
bleak
that
world.
Being said, you know, we're starting to see, I don't know, Chuck, we're starting to see a rollout in Georgia anyway, you know, much to many people's chagrin.
Yeah.
In terms of opening up businesses and all that, and now their bars and restaurants are starting to open up or at least have permission to do so.
Yeah.
But I think it's mainly up to people and the business owners as to whether they're comfortable with that. And I don't know that enough people are, but I was also kind of blown away how many people are just acting like it's just fine.
It's now. Solved.
Yeah. And
it's not
just
solved.
Not. It's just not.
No, yeah. I'm not going to be doing that stuff for a while. What we are doing as a first step is, had a couple of friends over the other day on the deck after Ruby went to bed, came in through the side gate, and we sat far apart on our deck and drank and had a great time. So we're doing a couple of things like that, opening the circle up a little bit for some outdoor distance hangs. But it's tough with kids. Like, these have got to be friends with no kids, and it's got to be after Ruby's in bed because, you know, you can't keep a five-year-old away from hugging their friends or our friends. It's tough. We'd have to fucking chain her to a post.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, thankfully, the instances of kids being affected by this has been just absolutely slim and rare. But they can obviously be carriers, even if they're not, you know, having symptoms. So you just got to be careful. But I've been doing the same thing. I have a little pod of people that I've been having over, you know, that are all quarantining, and we're all kind of hanging out with just each other, which apparently is kind of potentially going to be the new way people have to hang out, is you choose your little group.
Open your bubble up a little bit.
That's how you stick with it. Yeah.
That's right, Noel. Oh, man. All right, buddy. Well, two things I have to say to you. Work on those goddamn songs that I sent you.
I will, but Chuck, now I gotta wait until I get in my new studio, and then I'll have my rock and roll set up with guitar amps ablazing, and I'm getting new monitors. I'm gonna have a good old time, because up till now I've been just doing headphones, really quiet in my bedroom, and with this new situation, I'm gonna be able to really bust out some, you know, louder guitars and electric bass and stuff. So just give me a minute; I will absolutely hop on it.
I'll be down next week recording because we're recording two today, so that's good for you. Next week, moving, you'll have a chance to get good and set up. And then the other thing, Noel, is we once you do get set up, we do have to do a little Red Dead Redemption together.
Can't wait.
Yeah, I've been ranking and leveling up like a madman with my hunting and trading business. So I have got better guns now, got a better horse, better saddle, got a hunting wagon. I got a dog for my camp, and things are going well. I'm still not some super skilled player. Like, I'm getting murdered by these, you know,
trolls.
Level 300 trolls that are like, I don't know how the fuck they can shoot that straight from that far, but
that's pretty wild. Did you finish the story, the main game?
Oh yeah, I finished that a long time ago.
I haven't even finished that. I've been so into this Borderlands game that I've been kind of, I've avoided it, but I have not uninstalled it, so I'm gonna definitely, like, once I get in the new place, bust that out. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, and maybe, you know what, maybe I'll open this up to a couple of the crushers and posse up with these people.
Totally.
Yeah, that'd be fun. I've had a couple of fun things happen lately, like people sharing things and being nice instead of being awful. What was the one that happened the other day? Someone did something really cool and nice. It wasn't the person who lamplighted my path. That was very nice. But I did have a sweet kill the other day. There's this terrible posse that thinks they're, like, super awesome, that they named their posse and they're just awful people who go around killing and maiming. You know, when you're in your camp and your flag is raised, they can't do anything to you. So this posse came after me and I managed to make it to my camp, but they can still come in your camp. They just can't hurt you. So this jerk, Noel, comes in my camp. He knew he couldn't touch me. Mm-hmm. So he goes over, you know, you have a big case of beer in your camp. And he just started drinking all my beers one after the other right in front of my face, which I got to give him credit. It was kind of funny. He was like, all right, I'm going to fuck you up in another way. But while you're doing that, you know, you're concentrating on the drinking of the beer. So I sat there watching him stewing for a minute, and I was like, wait a minute, he's not paying attention to me. And I can't hurt him while I'm in camp. So I ran like 20 miles outside my camp, and I shot him in the fucking head.
With a sniper rifle?
With a sniper rifle, and it felt so good. And then he came after me and hunted me for the next hour and killed me like 18 times.
Ah! Well, at least
I got him that one good time, though.
At least you had your delicious moment. Oh,
it was
that's
so delicious.
Wonderful.
It was great.
That's great, Chuck. Awesome. Right, yeah, I can't wait to get in on this, dude. I'm definitely going to plan on that as soon as I get all set up. And I've got my internet like hookup appointment that fucking day.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I should be able to like get my shit up and running really quickly. So I'm excited.
Cool. Awesome. Thanks, man. Good seeing you. Good hang. Good luck with the move. And I can't wait to see the new place through the little Skype camera.
You got it, buddy.
All right.
See you next time.
Goodbye, everybody.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.